Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room. Ryan Green, Alex Adianju here for the final time in Honolulu, the Rebel Room postgame edition. We are here to talk about a game that was unlike the previous two for UNLV, a 67-56 loss to USC.
And I mean, USC really dominated the whole game. Although it was only 11-point difference, USC was in control from Jump Street. Literally from the jump. Once Derek Jasper got those two quick fouls and only played two.
Took about a minute 30.
Yeah. He went to the bench, and there goes UNLV's game. It was, I mean, dominated by all seven players that played for USC. They outplayed the Rebels all over the place.
Yeah, they did, and the stat sheet shows it. We're just going to jump right into it. UNLV, 17 of 50 from the floor, 5 of 22 from three-point range, 8 assists to 15 turnovers. You know, in total, UNLV wound up looking like the opponents that they faced in the first two games, and, you know, defense dictated this one, much like it did for the Rebels in the first two games here.
Yeah, I mean, USC had 18 points off turnovers. I mean, it was the pressure, the physicality of the Trojans was too much for the guards of UNLV, the post players of UNLV. I mean, USC, I mean, Kevin O'Neill, he's been known as a defensive genius all throughout his coaching career, and once again improved. He will lock you down and make you play muddy basketball, and UNLV did not play that today.
No, and UNLV had a tough time manufacturing points, was down 14 at the half. The closest they got in the second half was 11.
I mean, and USC gave him all opportunities to get back in the
game.
Oh,
yeah.
They missed every kind of free throw known to mankind. I mean, they shot 22 for 37 for the game. They were missing free throws left and right, but UNLV just could not score when they needed to put buckets.
Absolutely. In the final 5 minutes, UNLV was, I believe, 2 for 8 from the floor, including a garbage bucket at the very last second by Kendall Wallace. And they had two turnovers in that stretch, so it was not pretty. UNLV drops to 12-2 on the season, which, instead of using a ton of time on this one, look, I mean, we know about the offensive struggles. Trayvon Willis held without a field goal for only the second time as a Rebel. Chase Stanback wasn't himself. You mentioned Jasper going out early. Nobody was really themselves in this game except for maybe Belfield.
I mean, Stanback, Jasper, and Willis combined for 12 points. You can't have that if you're trying to win games for UNLV. I mean, Omar, when watching The Wire, Oscar played really well. He had 17, 3, and 3. But other than that, there was just no one else scoring for UNLV.
And they were a combined, those three guys were a combined 2 for 14 from the floor.
Not going to win you games. Point blank.
And, instead of kind of harping on this one, let's spin it forward, because UNLV has come to the end of the non-conference portion of the schedule. They've got 11 days off before playing BYU on January 6th in Provo in the Mountain West Conference opener. Now, we know that it's kind of a four-horse race in the Mountain West, it looks right now, between UNLV, BYU, New Mexico, San Diego State. And coincidentally, those are their first three opponents in the league.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule makers give them no break for UNLV playing the top four teams start out the year. But, I mean, if you're a UNLV fan, player, and coach, and we told you guys to be 12-2 at the end of the non-con, I think they would have taken that one starting out the year. So you gotta be proud of the Rebels the way they've played so far this year. They only lost two games. Both were by big margins to good teams, K-State and USC. But 12-2 entering the conference season, not bad job by Lon Kruger and company.
Now let's look at it. You say 12-2 is something most fans would take, and I would agree with that, but Lon Kruger talked about the way those two losses came. They came against the two really bigger, physical, stronger opponents that they face this year, and both times those opponents had their ways. Do you think this is a legitimate concern facing teams like this going on down the road? Because there are going to be some.
I mean, if you've played two teams and they both played you one way and you've lost both ways, you got to have a little bit of concern heading to the conference season. I mean, San Diego State, BYU, Utah, and New Mexico all play the same way. They're tough physical ball clubs. So if UNLV wants to move on and get past those, they got to learn how to play against tough physical teams.
Were you surprised today?
I was surprised just because UNLV had been coming out of the gate so well the first two games, mm-hmm. and today they had nothing. It was like USC was a team that had been using 15 players the past two games, and UNLV was a team that was using 6 players. I mean,
and so much of my theory that depth was going to be a deciding factor here.
It did not matter because, I mean, USC was just the better ball club point blank today.
They were. Now, if you're grading out UNLV's non-conference season, what are you giving them? Because now, yes, we talked about the negatives, but they don't have a big dominant low post scorer. You know, but the positives are there. The freshman, Anthony Marshall and Justin Hawkins, got rid of the growing pains. You know, Chase Stanback and Derek Jasper, after a year out of the game, are starting to come back into form. Trey Willis has emerged as a leader. So there are positives. They probably outweigh the negatives. What do you give them?
I give them a B just because they beat a then-ranked Louisville team. They went on the road and beat a good Arizona team in Tucson, but they did lose those two games. One of them at the Orleans Arena and one here. So, I mean, I'll give them a B.
Give them a solid B.
A solid B. You know, a solid B. They got things. They figured out some things. Figured out who's going to play where and when. I mean, I think Kruger did a good job of bringing Trey off the bench now to kind of get off those two quick fouls he's been getting. But I give you a B for the non-conference season. What about you, Green?
I'm going the same way. I think there were a couple negatives, but they were far outweighed by positives. There was a lot of positives going on, and you know, UNLV has a lot to hang its hat on heading into the conference play. Now, do you think it's a bad thing for this team that they have 11 days before going to Provo and playing? Or I
think it's a good thing because, I mean, they're battered. I mean, Trey Vaughn's been injured with every part of his body known to mankind. He'll be sitting in that ice tub for a week and a half. Players got to get healthy. They got to get their mind right. I mean, the conference season is a different beast than the non-con. So you want to get some time off to prepare yourself for a very good Mountain West Conference this year.
I give them a little bit of a gold star for scheduling because, you know, the schedule, it built up to some big games a couple of times. It built up to that Kansas State game. It built up to that Louisville and Arizona stretch. It built up to this trip to Hawaii, and now they have. I think Lon Kruger wants it this way, where they have a little bit of time off and they have a little bit of time to regroup. They're going to get back to Las Vegas early Saturday morning, and no practice until Tuesday, some time to regroup mentally, physically, and then they're right back at it on Tuesday.
And you figure with this loss, they'll be fuming to get back on the court against BYU, so they should be a well-prepared, well-focused team against BYU coming up in 2 weeks.
I know we're a little bit of a ways out, but you think let's talk about UNLV's first stretch in conference play. They're playing at BYU. They're playing at New Mexico.
Where's Colorado State when you need them?
Oh, they're about five games in, yeah.
Where's Wyoming when you need them?
They're about seven or eight games in. they get the big boys right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's Ric Flair for all those who don't know. And UNLV is jumping right into the fire. That's a little wrestling trivia for you. They're jumping into the fire playing the big boys. I mean, the two back-to-back road games is not a good way to start the conference season with at BYU. At New Mexico, am I correct? They're playing.
Yeah.
So I mean, those are going to be.
How do you think they come out of those two?
They'll split one.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. There's a 1-1.
New Mexico hasn't been playing real well, anyways. I mean, they were down 15 to Creighton last week, and they lost to Earl Roberts earlier this week. So I mean, New Mexico has not been playing their best basketball. BYU's been up and up. I mean, they beat Reno by, I think, 6-110-104 last Saturday. So they've been playing well. But I mean, you got to play who's in front of you, and those two teams are first, and then we'll see how UNLV does.
I'm kind of agreeing. I'm going to go with the split in those two. It's you know, and I think a split wouldn't be bad, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won them both. They've got the capability, and if there's one thing this team has proven in the past couple of years under Lon Kruger, they play well on the heels of losses, and now we see if that holds true, even though they have about a week and a half to stew on it.
It will be interesting, but that's why they play their games. One bright spot for UNLV, they were 17 for 19 from the free throw line today, so...
They took advantage of the.
They were hitting the charity, but that 3-point shooting is hasn't really been good all season long, and you wonder when Kruger's gonna be like, all right, no more threes, guys. We're only gonna shoot through twos. So,
well, today they got in a tough situation because the twos just weren't there. Every time they it was that's where it was maybe most reminiscent of that K-State game was every time they drove, you know, Oscar or Derek put it on the floor and drove in, there were just trees waiting for him. So, you know. I don't know how you combat that, how you change that next time you do play a team like that, and that's why Lon Kruger's paid the big bucks to figure it out.
And that's
us.
Why I don't.
Exactly. I'm not even going to venture guesses here.
No.
But he'll figure it out if he's proven anything to us.
I agree.
I think they will.
Yeah, we'll see.
And anybody who wants to jump ship and freak out over this one, it's one game. USC's hot. That's six in a row. Yeah, that's six
in a row, and they beat a ranked Tennessee squad. I mean, they beat St. Mary's. They're a good team right now, so you got to respect the Trojans.
Believe it or not, that's probably the best team in the Pac-10 right now.
Washington.
They're not playing like it.
Lorenzo Romar. Isaiah Thomas, they're good, but...
not right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying right now.
Pound for pound.
They are the pound for pound king in the Pac-10.
You can make that statement, yes.
I will make that statement.
Then do that.
However, will we see them in the NCAA tournament? We just don't know yet.
Don't know.
Well, any final comments before we take off from the islands?
Hawaii was a good place. I wish it didn't rain today and yesterday when it got that beach game, because you know how I do. But, you know, it rained, so no beach game.
There's going to be some disappointed people back in
there,
Vegas.
There will be, but it was not my fault.
I will be a witness to that.
I made efforts, but the rain said, you're not getting on the beach. So, I mean, I ain't gonna get on the beach. It was that simple. But I like Hawaii. It was expensive. Stuff is expensive in this state, but it's good.
Walk if you can.
Eat fruit or something if you can, because they didn't even have the $5 footlong on Subway. That's messed up.
And if you go to McDonald's, be prepared not to order a number one or number two or number three, but an A, B, or C.
Yes. And they're $9 for a value meal.
Just a heads up.
Unbelievable.
And no, it does not come with a Rolex.
No, it does not.
Unfortunately. Well, for Alex Adianju, this is Ryan Green. Next time we talk to you, we'll be back on the mainland. This is the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.